This is Close Up Fort Mill TKK, presented by Kuster Commercial, commercial real estate for the Carolinas. Now, here is Patty Mercer.
Hello and welcome. We are live today from Famous Toastery right here in TKK, where every server is your server. And of course, Kuster Commercial, our presenting sponsor, makes it possible for us to bring you the local latest, greatest things that are happening in York County as it relates to business, events, charitable causes, and of course, the not so great stories as well. Or the real life stories that happen every day. Trent Ferris, the public information officer with the York County Sheriff's Office, is with me today. And we're going to talk about an event that happened almost a year ago today, January, and how we as a community have healed and how we're moving forward. So welcome to Close Up.
Well, welcome. I'm glad to be here. Like I told you before, I misgauged the traffic flow in Fort Mill. I haven't been up here. TKK, Fort Mill, haven't been up this way in a time. And yeah, I misgauged the traffic flow. Almost was late.
Well, I'm telling you, Trent, it's incredible because I can go a couple of weeks and not be on a certain road in Fort Mill. And when I go back on it, I'm amazed. Mm-hmm. So you traveled from the sheriff's office over in York.
In York, all the way here.
Yeah. So, well, you need a gold star just for being here on time. You were great.
I made it.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to be a little late, but I made it.
You made it. Yeah. And Heather Overman was sitting right there just in case. Right?
Yeah. Yes. And good standby. Good.
Okay, so before we get started, let's just share a little bit about you.
Okay. Born and raised in York County, grew up in the little area of Leslie, outside of Rock Hill, now living the Catawba area. That's where my family's from. And I left for about 3 years to serve my country in the United States Navy, came back, went to Winthrop University for 5.5 years.
But then, okay. You're good.
Almost got a PhD in my bachelor's, but
we look back and really respect you guys.
I do.
Like you knew what you were doing. The rest of us were in a hurry to get out.
But I was I graduated from there, and I worked in the media industry for after that, from radio to radio sales to television at CN2, and then I moved to a television station in Charlotte for a couple of years. And thankfully, one day, the former sheriff Bruce Bryant called me up and said, "Trent, how would you like to be our PIO?" And I said, "Well, sir, let me think about that for a second. Sure. Where do I sign?"
Well, you know, with Lucas McFadden and myself having the opportunity to talk to you every other Wednesday.
Right.
And of course, cannot mention Walter Beck, because the two of you just put together the Wanted Wednesday series and presented in a way where you raise the awareness, but you also put out the facts, and you do it in a way where it's memorable.
Right, right.
And thank you for the – you wouldn't be able to do things like that without the talent that you have. And one thing we are seeing is you never know what a day holds.
Of course. Every day is different.
Every day is different as it relates to law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
There have been big changes. You've been with the sheriff's office how many years now?
Nearly 7 years.
Okay, so within that 7 years, wow. If you look at the beginning of maybe the culture, the respect, and what it was, you know, to be serving as, you know, in the law enforcement for the sheriff's office, for the municipalities, and you look at today, I mean, what once was the exception in terms of headline news is quickly becoming what we see on a regular basis.
True, true.
And then tragedy struck January 15th of last year.
Late on January 15th. A year ago.
And this is going to be hard, by the way.
Yeah, it might be a little tough.
Which is one of the reasons why you felt the story needed to be told.
Yeah. A year ago on the 15th, it started out as a normal day. It was one of those days you go to work, you finish the day of work, guys are on shift, off shift, coming in and out. And then later that night, everything changed. Around about a little close to midnight. It started around 11 o'clock when we first got the initial call about domestic violence suspect that had assaulted his wife and left his home, and then started was armed and just on the loose in the woods. And so it ran into the 16th early that morning, where we had the tragedy of first Sergeant Randy Clinton getting shot by the suspect, and then later on when our SWAT team was trying to locate him in the woods, he ambushed the team again and tragically lost Detective Mike Doty. Sergeant Buddy Brown at the time was shot, and also Sergeant Kyle Cummings with the York Police Department. So it was a night that will be, like I told somebody the other day, burned in my brain forever.
And it began as a domestic violence call, 911, very similar to the majority of calls that...
99% of all of our calls, I would venture to say, begin with a call to 911, and then it spiraled out from there.
You know, it changed all of our lives on that day. What could only happen somewhere else had suddenly happened to one of our own.
Mm-hmm. Buddy Brown actually said a good quote. He told the sheriff when he was in the hospital, and he actually says this in the video we're getting ready to talk about. He says, you know, I was hurt by this. Randy, Kyle, myself were hurt by this, or injured. We were injured, but we were all hurt by this thing. So, it couldn't be a better quote.
Absolutely. And of course, we all were just holding on to hope that recovery would be possible.
Yep.
And then learning the information, you as a public information officer had a huge level of responsibility to deliver updated information. What was that like?
It's probably the hardest thing I've had to do in my nearly 7 years at the sheriff's office. There are a couple of things that you never want to have to do. This kind of incident where you have an officer involved shooting, where you have an officer that's injured or shot. And then, of course, the other thing is a school event. You don't want anything like
right.
that to ever happen. Those are the two things I dread. And let's hope I never have to do the latter now. So, but it was difficult because that night I was called to the scene by the sheriff, got there, was there with him, and saw all the events, heard all the events unfold, and then later on that morning I had to get on television and tell everybody what had happened, but I couldn't go into great detail.
Exactly. And I want to continue our conversation about having the responsibility of doing that accurately, and also with all of the back noise of social media and everyone having an opinion on what was happening and how and all of that. Just a lot to handle in an emotional place. So stay tuned. We're going to continue our conversation with Trent Ferris, Public Information Officer for the York County Sheriff's Office. So this is Close Up, presented by Kuster Commercial, co-sponsored by Euclid Ledger Cooperative and U.S. Mortgage of South Carolina. Stay tuned.
Chris here with U.S. Mortgage of South Carolina. Looking to buy, build, or refinance? Put your trust in South Carolina's premier mortgage company, U.S. Mortgage of South Carolina. We offer the most extensive list of loan products available. We love our veterans, and our rates are pretty darn good, too. Call me, 792-7168.
NMLS number 75597.
Located in Fort Mill, the Kuster Companies continue to create value throughout the Carolinas. Our multidiscipline team with extensive project experience provide expert advice, giving our clients the edge to excel. Kuster Commercial, customized solutions for every stage of the commercial real estate process.
On cold winter mornings and hot summer afternoons, we can beat the peak demand for electricity together. This is Mark Howie. Just go online to yorkelectric.net, sign up, and we'll let you know via email, text, or call when the demand is at its highest. All you do is turn off unnecessary lights and think twice before using your dishwasher, washing machine, or clothes dryer, and adjust your thermostat to use a little less heat or air during the beat the peak hours. At York Electric Co-op, we believe if we all cut back on energy use a little, we can make a big difference together.
We now return to Close Up Fort Mill Tiga K. Once again, here's Patty Mercer.
A snapshot.
Hello, we are back. My guest today, Trent Ferris, Public Information Officer for York County Sheriff's Office. If you're just tuning in, this is Close Up Fort Mill Tiga K, presented by Kuster Commercial. And, of course, we are live today right here at Famous Toastery in Tiga K. Trent, so you're going to be presenting to the community a three-part documentary about the night Detective Mike Doty and three other law enforcement officers were shot at a domestic violence call. Before we went to break, you had shared just how heavy the responsibility was of presenting accurate information about updates on all the on the situation and of most importantly the health of our officers. But doing that in such a time as this, with people and social media and speculation, there's such a natural curiosity.
Yep.
I'm sure you understood that. And yet this is real life stuff. You guys are probably sleep deprived, emotionally, you know, drained. What was that like?
I'll start off by saying social media is a great thing, but it also can be a bad thing. It gives everybody a platform to say whatever they'd like to say and not have any repercussions about it. I had a conversation one time with a judge where we were trying to get some video into the courtroom, actually during the suspect's trial, and she was like, well, no, only the media can have video in there. And I was like, well, in the age of social media, we're all the media.
Yeah.
And so I had to discuss with her with that, you know, and I lost that battle, of course, because I'm just lowly Trent Ferris and she's a judge. And so, but anyway, social media is a great thing. And even though we were trying our best to get out the most timely, correct information from our Facebook, Twitter pages and on our website, it was me and our assistant public information officer, Kim Morehouse, had a lot of help from Mark Bollinger at Rock Hill PD, former TGK PIO Dave Nelson. They all came and helped. And if I didn't have their help that night or that day, and gosh, it all rolled into one lump.
Yeah.
So we would have probably fallen right on our face, but we had to combat the misinformation people were putting out on their own.
Wow.
And thanks to those guys, they were monitoring that for me. And there was times where I had I wouldn't say a shouting match, but it was a heated discussion with a couple of journalists from the area about they were putting out misinformation on their
And you
social
were the
media.
Public information officer with the information, what we
right.
say straight from the source, and they were challenging you.
Yes, and I actually told them, if you want the accurate information, why don't you call the public information officer?
Right.
And
that's why I'm here.
And it was, of course, we were stressed and we were upset through the whole incident. And I was trying to keep my cool the whole time. But it's kind of like the Hulk.
Oh,
when
well,
you have
hey.
That one moment, you just burst
okay.
out. And and we did. So
it's okay.
And they still refused to take that misinformation down. So we just had to. I've gone to trainings where they say, for every one bad story, you've got to cover, you know, not cover it up, but show 10 good.
Yeah, people tend to remember the
same thing with information. One bad misinformation, you've got to put up 10 to cover up
to get
the
point corrected.
Right.
And who has time for that? I mean,
not little old Trent Ferris. I can
well,
tell you that.
Here's the thing. It wasn't just an officer. It was a friend.
Yes.
It was a son. It was a twin brother.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a lot,
mm-hmm.
a lot going on. And then there you are. I mean, press conferences, public, the whole world watching you because of the time in which this happened. And everybody wants to know why. You chose to do a documentary in-house.
Right.
I guess. So you, how did you organize this into what we will be seeing on the 15th, 16th, and 17th?
Well, I'd like to say it was my idea originally, but I usually take good ideas and make them better or just put them in our own words.
Teamwork.
I went to a training conference this past summer in which we one of the speakers was the PIO for the Las Vegas Police Department, and they were talking about their incident, their shooting at the hotel out there. And
which happened in October.
In October, right. That same prior before January.
Wow.
And he was talking about how already, months before the anniversary, he'd already gotten requests from media outlets for interviews. And there were so many people involved in those interviews, he couldn't grant them all. So what he did, and they have a lot bigger department, it's Las Vegas, of course. What he did was say, well, bump it. We're going to do all this in-house. We'll get your interviews for you. We're going to do a video in-house, and then you can use it. So I'd said, wow, that's a great idea coming up in January.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to the Sheriff Tolson. I said, Sheriff, I got this idea. I don't know if you want to do this or not, but this is the idea. And I told him, so let's do our own in-house video, because we had more than 85 people involved that night. And everybody, the news was focusing on Buddy, Randy, Kyle, those folks. But there were 85 people. on scene that had tremendous influence in that night. And so we wanted to make sure that everybody had a voice.
Everybody has a voice and a story to share.
And if you count everybody from Rock Hill on down to Columbia, on up to Charlotte, all the media outlets, I didn't think it was fair to have all of our guys do 10 or more separate interviews.
They didn't sign up for that.
And repeat themselves 10
exactly.
or more times.
On something that you lived through once, why would you want to continuously?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
In another point, I mean, police officers aren't really open to speaking to, you know, laying out their emotions on a table for a stranger. And I figured if they were talking to me with a camera, it would be a whole lot more open and honest.
Absolutely.
And transparent about everything that happened that night. So
right.
We that's what we did it. That's how it started. And Sheriff Tolson gave me the green light, and we did it back in October, actually.
Back in October. Okay, so 85 people you were involved in, mm-hmm. you know, the scene, the crime scene. We saw videos from the helicopter sled, but
yep.
there are so many things that we didn't see. So how did you begin to... You know, who did you go to first? Who all did you interview? Tell me about some of the different...
It was a simple email to everybody who had key roles in that night. I couldn't send it out to all 85 because, you know, I couldn't interview all 85 people and try to condense it down into a small story.
Right.
And so, like Walter said the other night, well, the other morning, we were talking about it, and Walter said, when we first talked about this, we thought it was just going to be an hour long. Real fast, quick, and in a hurry. And then once you got into it and all the, you know, emotion and the stories everybody was telling and everybody basically saying the same thing as everybody, but weaving that into a, you know, a story.
Yes.
It took a lot more time and a lot more time. I kept going to Walter. This thing's getting longer. It's getting longer. Sheriff, this thing's getting longer and longer and longer. And it ended up being... 3 hours.
3 hours, and yet each segment is an hour long with a specific
purpose of sharing.
So you take us from the 911 call, and then we move into the next part, which we're going to learn about when we come back.
Okay.
But right now, we need to take a mid-program break and remind our listeners, of course, this is Close Up, Fort Mill TKK, brought to you by Houston Commercial Real Estate for the Carolinas, and York Electric Cooperative and U.S. Mortgage of South Carolina are the co-sponsors. My conversation with Trent Ferris, Public Information Officer for York County Sheriff's Office, will continue in just a minute. So stay with us through this break.
Hey, from Famous Toastery in TKK, we want to thank you for your loyal patronage, and we're excited to announce that both Indian Land and Rock Hill Famous Toasteries are open and ready to serve you our delicious, always fresh breakfast and lunch. Daily specials, and I could go on. You can be sure that each location of Famous Toastery is uniquely designed with the same great culture and experience that we're known for. We'll see you at Famous Toastery, where every server is your server.
Located in Fort Mill, the Kuster Companies continue to create value throughout the Carolinas. Our multidiscipline team with extensive project experience provide expert advice, giving our clients the edge to excel. Kuster Commercial, customized solutions for every stage of the commercial real estate process.
Chris here with U.S. Mortgage of South Carolina. Rates are going up. Are you prepared? Now is the perfect time to find your perfect home. Put your trust in a company that cares, U.S. Mortgage of South Carolina. We love our veterans, and our rates are pretty darn good, too. Call me, 792-7168.
NMLS number 75597.
We now return to Close Up Fort Mill TKK. Once again, here's Patty Mercer.
We're back, and this is Close Up Fort Mill TKK. My guest today, Trent Ferris, Public Information Officer with York County Sheriff's Office. We're talking about a three-part documentary that he's put together along with a lot of other people.
Yep.
This is a shared group idea. Its purpose is to really share with the community the story from unique perspectives, and just we all hurt. We all have pain with the loss of Detective Mike Doty.
Mm-hmm.
We learned so much about him. For us who did not know him prior to,
right.
We have certainly learned the footprint of his life,
mm-hmm.
and been moved by how he served and
mm-hmm.
all the people and lives that he touched. In fact, there's the 809 Foundation,
right.
from his call.
That was
number?
His call number. Yeah,
okay.
809 was his call number.
The work that he did, even with Narpan, what is it?
Narcan.
Yes, to save from accidental overdose. Just incredible stuff. So we all, as a community, have this curiosity to learn more about the story and also about Sergeant Randy Clinton, Sergeant Buddy Brown, Sergeant Kyle Cummings.
Yep.
So once the 911 and the initial call and the ambush and all of that, then what part of this will you lead into?
Well, it starts out with the initial call, with the unsung heroes in dispatch who have to take those initial calls and are there and not on scene. It rolls into Randy, Sergeant Clinton's, and his canine team. It wasn't just Randy in the woods. It was a team with him.
In the woods,
in the dark, in the cold.
And it's cold. It's January.
And they're very descriptive about what they did and how they did it and how they just, you know, were tracking the suspect until Randy was shot. And then moments after that, it's Randy's, you know, taken to the hospital, then the search for the suspect in the woods. And then it rolls into the sled helicopter running out of fuel and having to land and losing the eyes in the sky. And then you have the SWAT team on the ground, right?
I didn't know that.
I mean, the people don't. There's another thing in there where we actually had another officer that was injured that night in a way, and people didn't know about that. Deputy Cole Green actually had hypothermia, who was on the initial canine team that was being shot at, and he had to stay out there in the cold until the crime scene could be secured from Randy's shooting.
Right.
His legs went numb, and he got hypothermia from that. And then it rolls into the, of course, the SWAT incident with the suspect underneath the deck, and then all the way through the hospital.
I didn't know he was under the deck.
Yeah. I mean, I told the sheriff, people are still asking questions, and it's over. The guy's in jail. He's going to be in jail forever. I think this is and Buddy said it the best. He said this is good for the healing process.
We want
for everybody.
Closure.
Mm-hmm.
We want to know that he is locked up. He can't hurt anybody else. Do we know the why?
No. And I'm not focused on him anymore.
Nope.
We don't focus on him anymore. We focus on the future. We focus moving forward and focus on the healing of our, not just physically, but emotional healing.
Right.
Of our guys and
right.
And everybody at the sheriff's office, and not just the sheriff's office. We had Rock Hill PD SWAT there. We had people from Fort Mill PD who were there. TK PD was there. Clover PD. So many people involved. And hopefully this will shed light on everybody, put them on scene with us virtually, I guess, if you want to say, and tell the story and. Hopefully they'll see from their shoes how difficult it was for every different point on scene that night.
I think there's a tendency whenever we see accident and evil happen to do that Monday morning quarterback thing.
Yeah, right. And I'm afraid, you know, well, you talk about social media.
Yeah.
We're putting this on social media. Once it's on social media and on the internet, it's there forever. And my one fear, I told the sheriff about this. I said, my one fear, somebody out there is going to go take it and armchair quarterback it and say, well, you should have done this. You should have done that. Well, no. I mean, it was an unpredictable situation. Even Kyle says in his interview, this guy, it was a close ambush. And if you're a member of the military, you know how hard that is to defeat. And so there was nothing you could probably ever you could train. But when somebody wants to do evil, they're going to do evil. And you can only go against that.
Exactly. And this is the thing, you do train every day. Our law enforcement, you never know what a day is going to hold.
Mm-hmm.
You are trained for the unexpected, and yet the unexpected is always going to be there.
Yeah.
So I would hope that nobody would do that, and they would see that this is an opportunity to really see from the perspective of those involved and what an important this is a very important timeline in history because it's easy to take for granted that we're going to always be safe because there's law enforcement. But law enforcement is something to be respected, not something to criticize or judge or disrespect.
Dallas PD chief, when they had their shooting down in Dallas, says, well, if you have a problem, serve.
Yeah,
come
exactly.
Join.
Step
serve.
Up.
So, I mean, if we're always hiring, I can tell you that.
There you go. and, you know, I just to see the relationships and the closeness. And from your perspective, just hearing you now, how in that moment it was all hands on deck.
It was all hands on deck and chaos.
Yeah. So I, from the documentary, people will see the relationship that you all have with each other,
yes.
See the life a little of Officer.
And that's the best part. I told the sheriff, I said, we're going to focus on the first two episodes of the actual events. Mm-hmm. Randy shooting, Buddy Kyle, Randy shooting, Mike shooting, and then move into honoring Mike.
And where do we see this?
We're going to see it on all of our social media pages, YorkCountySheriff.com. You can get linked there. It'll be on YouTube.
Okay.
Just search up York County Sheriff's Office, Facebook, Twitter. We can find it.
Coming out the 15th, 16th, and 17th of January. Thank you so very much, Trent Ferris, Public Information Officer with the York County Sheriff's Office. And thanks to the, all of those who serve us every day.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for being with me on this edition of Close Up Fort Mill TKK, presented by Kuster Commercial, and of course live on Thursdays from Famous Toastery, where every server is your server. I'm Patty Mercer.